I'm living a movie, not living by rules. It's just a movie, don't lose your cool.
Hola, and welcome to another episode of Spoiled Movie Reviews here on the blackouttips.com premium section for all the people that like to pay for podcasts and stuff. That's really cool, you guys, and that's why we keep doing this stuff. Today's episode of Spoiled Movie Reviews, where the motto of the show is for people who watch the movie, don't ever plan on watching the movie, or just don't give a fuck because we spoil things, okay? And Carano is a double agent the whole fucking movie, guys. That's
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
And today we have, as always, we have a couple people with me. I have the lovely Andrew in the Andrew Johnson from FilmGeekRadio.com on the air with me. What's up, Andrew? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good, man. We appreciate you coming here and doing this show with us. I was on Andrew's show arguing about Man of Steel for an hour and 15 minutes. So if you guys want to hear a very thorough debate of taste between two gentlemen and Monica, who was, I felt, kind of observing the punches and then jumping in and like throwing a punch and then jumping out.
Yep.
But if you guys want to hear that, man, I think you'll enjoy it. It was a very spirited, lively, fun conversation. And of course, I'm always joined by Karen, who just stays in the room no matter what movie we talk about.
Yep.
Karen, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Well, I'm good. Good to have you here. And of course, we're here to talk about a movie that can only be embodied by six volumes. Fast and Furious 6.
Mm-hmm.
The storyline of this one is pretty simple.
Like, do we even need a storyline? Fast cars, women, the end.
Dom, played by Vin Diesel, and Brian, played by Paul Walker, since their Rio heist toppled a kingpin's empire in Fast and Furious 5, the crew left with their $100 million, and they're all scattered around the globe. They're all trying to do it on their own, living low-key lives in very exotic, extravagant villas and places and countries where none of us will ever go to. But their inability to return home to shitty-ass L.A. is what is bothering them the most. And they can't be complete. So when Hobbs, played by The Rock, shows up on Dom's doorstep and says, look, I'm tracking a lethally skilled mercenary group of drivers across 12 countries, and I need y'all's help to track them down. I need the whole crew. And Dom said, I'm not helping you. And he said, oh, really? Let me show you a picture of Letty, played by Michelle Rodriguez, who is still alive. And Dom said, damn. He said, that's right. You're going to be begging to go with me now. And Dom had to get the whole crew together to come to Europe and do some Fast and Furious Euro version. And it was a... you know, it hijinks ensued from there. Many, many fights, explosions, car chases, and one of the more concise plots I've ever seen in my life was done. Let's go ahead and get into let me say who directed this and all this shit. It was directed by Justin Lin, who I don't know how you can take care of something the way he did, because honestly, I didn't think that it was possible to get the Fast and Furious timeline to make sense. and he took him two movies basically, but he got it full circle to some extent. Now he left after this, so it's probably gonna be fucked up again by Fast Furious 7.
Oh, the same director not coming back?
No, Justin Lin was like, you can't get better than this, and walked away, dropped the mic. We have very simple reviews here. We have a review scale from 0 to 5 on the More Epic Than Love Jones scale. 0 being, man, fuck you. And of course, 5 being, the fuck you waiting for? Go see this shit. And very rarely we have a 6 out of 5, which is Kev tears. And then we ask people what worked for the movie, what didn't work for the movie, and then we give it a rating. Very simple. So I'm going to start with you first, Andrew. What worked for this movie for you?
What worked? One of the things that I actually really like about the Fast and Furious series is that it's probably the most racially diverse mainstream film franchise out there. And I think that more movies should follow suit. I just really like how it always seems like a bunch of people getting together feels like they're really good friends by this point, and they just want to get together and have fun and make a movie. So at this point in the Fast and Furious series, they're pretty loose. They're pretty casual. You can tell everyone is just there to have a good time. They're all enjoying themselves. And I think some of that enthusiasm and that fun emanates off the screen. And as a result, I tend to have a good time when they're having a good time. Mm. So I liked that about this movie. The other thing I liked about it is I do think that there are one or two pretty impressive action sequences in this movie. Now, there's nothing here that is quite as impressive to me as some of the stuff that happened in Fast Five. Mm-hmm. But all around, if you just want to see some really crazy action sequences that really there's no real world physics involved in any of this stuff. And if you're okay with that, I think that you'll have a lot of fun with this movie.
Cool. Karen, what worked for you?
The Rock worked for me, and The Rock worked for me in the last movie. I liked The Rock. I liked him, just his presence and him just being there. I liked the fact that, when he showed up, especially with Tyrese. I liked Tyrese too, because he was like, "You smell, baby." Like, the thing I liked about Tyrese was his lines were punchlines, mm-hmm. but he did them well.
They did make me like Tyrese. Yes. And I hate Tyrese.
Where they didn't come forced. It's almost like that was like almost him. I didn't feel like they were forced or anything like that. I love the over the top action. I love the fact that gravity didn't matter, physics didn't matter, how you could jump, two people could jump in the air at each other, and one catch the other one in midair and land on a vehicle, and nobody breaks bones. Mm-hmm. I like that you could drive down the highway, shoot missiles on bridges, have all these people die, and nobody ever get charged for any of these crimes. I like that. I like just the jokes, just the way they interacted with each other. I like the fights. They had some good fight scenes. I like when Tyrese and the Asian dude was fighting that dude. He was like whipping their ass. And they got to the point where they got beat up so bad, they started like pushing. No, your turn. I ain't going back. Like, to me, that made the movie. And I like the ending, the last fight when The Rock and Vin Diesel like tag team against the other dude. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that. I like the MMA fighter girl. I don't remember her name.
Gina Carano.
Mm-hmm. I really, really enjoyed her, because when she fought on the screen, it was one of those things where I was like, oh my goodness. It was like, she just gave everybody the business.
Right.
And I really enjoyed the fact that her presence just did something to me. It was one of things where you knew you was gonna get a series of fighting, and just the way she punched, the way she kicked, it was one of those things where it's rare that you get good fight scenes like that for somebody like me who likes like action and fighting. And then she do like Haywire too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I really, really enjoyed her in Haywire. And I know this might sound corny, I like the twist. I personally didn't see the twist coming. I was like, oh shit, they shocked me with a twist. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't know that she was the bad guy. And so to me, overall, I really enjoyed the movie overall to me.
Yeah. The things I enjoyed about it were, Justin Lin realized that the action didn't have to stop when it got out of cars.
True.
Which to me made this franchise way better than before.
Mm-hmm.
Cause when it was just a racing franchise, I really didn't care because the people can't act anyway.
Ain't
so
that the truth.
Why are we even like, I don't care that they're mean mugging each other in these cars and the cars are going really fast and someone gets in the crash and then we all go, oh no, that person, you know, like I actually enjoyed it better when, it was like, now Vin Diesel gets out the car and he punches a dude in the fucking face. It's like, good. Let do more of that. I enjoyed everything bad about this movie. Every single thing. Like,
mm-hmm.
the awkward dialogue, the force trying to, like all the Force trying to be cool moments that they have, where Vin Diesel is just like working on an engine on a patio of a villa in like some fucking nice country, where it's just like, this would never happen. There's no gearheads, mm-hmm. you know, walking around this other country. I enjoyed all the stuff with Tyrese and Ludacris when they were busting mm-hmm. on each other in the group. It, even though, like I said, it's really forced comic relief, but it worked on me.
Me too.
I enjoyed the fact that the villains in this were just a, like the, bizarro version of the regular Fast Furious crew. Like they even make
they
that,
were.
Like this film seems so aware that it's just a bad, like action movie
mm-hmm.
that I forgave everything, like because it was like poking fun at itself, like these dudes are just the bizarro us, that's you and that's me and this, and I was like, that is what you did, that's correct, Tyrese, you know. I also enjoyed the ingenuity in some of the car stuff, like that one car that the guy had that flipped over everything, the main villain
mm-hmm.
in the beginning. I enjoyed that concept car. And did the plot make sense that dude would let the snitch come to his lairs or whatever and plant it with explosives and wait till the police were right upon him to try to escape? No, it didn't make sense, but it looked good on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much what they were going for. I dug The Rock and Vin Diesel's relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little homoerotic. I was waiting on them to kiss at some point. They didn't.
Yeah. You know, and this one thing I did like, they toned down the greasing and the oiling of The Rock. Because the last one, he looked like they just dipped him in some fat back and said, go. Yep. And he was like, oh, my gosh, why are you shining so hard, brother?
Karen, they weren't in Brazil anymore. So it wasn't as humid. And, you know, they're in Europe now. They're in England and shit. So, also, they brought back all of the tropes that they normally have. You know, there was the setting up overly complex heist that falls apart and they just end up winging it anyway,
mm-hmm.
which they do in every fucking one of these
every
movies.
Single one of them.
It's like 30 minutes preparing for some shit and then they get to the end and they're like, we're going to do what we always do. Freestyle. That doesn't make any sense. I actually enjoy the relationship, like Andrew said, between the cast, and I can't tell if it's just like these dudes hang out in real life or they're just having such a good time filming these movies.
That's right.
Because there is something kinetic to the fact that they're all having a good time and they're
and
busting
you can
on each other.
Tell it, and it comes across on the screen.
Yeah, so that was cool with me. And then the other thing was the fights were actually really well choreographed, which it was cool to see, man. Like, especially Michelle Rodriguez, she had a lot on her plate. Gina Carano is an MMA fighter for real. Like,
yeah, in real life.
Yeah. I watched Haywire and she was really good in that as far as the fighting because she can do all those fights. Like, she can run up that wall and flip and grab a dude's ankle and all this stuff. And, you know, Michelle Rodriguez actually had me buying that somehow she could compete with this lady. And I'm sure Michelle Rodriguez is really just, you know, an actress that probably went to acting school or something. So I was in for that. Now, mm-hmm. let's talk about what didn't work for this movie. Because I don't think this movie's perfect. I just know that I unbiasedly loved it. Or I biasedly love it. Karen, I'll start with you. What did not work for Fast and Furious for you? Fast Furious 6.
I don't really have anything. I know it might sound weird, because I really just enjoyed the movie
mm-hmm.
So much. And I'm pretty sure it has flaws, like the plot. You know, it made no sense. I didn't realize it was a sequence. You know, Roger had to explain to me, you know, at the end. I know I got excited at the end when, what is his name? Jason
Statham
showed up.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, I want to watch 7. But like I say, because I just enjoyed the Fast and Furious series.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the second one, the Tokyo one, which I think.
The reason you did not understand why Jason Statham showing up is a big deal is because you've never seen Tokyo Drift.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. In Tokyo Drift, that's when, Han dies. Because
mm-hmm.
and that's the thing. They're heavy handedly alluding to the fact that Han will die. And like I said, oh, I forgot to mention that's one of the things that worked. Whoever is writing the last two of these movies, like, great job. Cause
Chris Morgan, I think, is his name. He's been writing, I think, quite a few of the Fast and Furious movies.
Well, hey, he did a good job because it takes a lot to organize the shit soup that they had in those first four movies into a coherent plot. And if you think about the complexity of what they were doing, there's like, this happens before this and that move, that happens before that. And then this dude dies. And then this girl isn't even in that movie. So how are we going to explain her being in these two movies? Like, I thought they did a good job of like keeping it all kind of, without contradicting itself time wise. Especially for a franchise I didn't think would even take time being serious. Like, I just thought they'd be like, yeah, fuck it. Who cares? So that's why you don't understand it, is because you haven't seen the Fast and Furious, Tokyo Drift.
Which, okay.
Which has a Bow Wow in it, which is why I said I want to see Bow Wow. Yeah. Which is why I said I can't wait to see Bow Wow in Fast and Furious 7.
That's why I looked at you like, where Bow Wow come from?
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to, I hope he's in Fast and Furious 7.
He probably will be.
If he's not, I'm going to be very upset. Anything else that didn't work for you, Karen?
Nope. I'm kind of biased because I just really, really enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed the action. I enjoyed everything about it.
Well, you don't have to make anything up. If it didn't bother you, then you're good.
Yep.
Andrew, anything that did not work for you?
There was actually a lot of stuff that didn't work for me with this movie. I was kind of disappointed by this film. I've never been a huge fan of the Fast and Furious series, but I really loved Fast Five. And I think Fast Five is by far the best one in the series. And just so much fun. So I had high hopes going into this one, and it just felt a lot different to me. It didn't have quite the same energy as Fast Five, and I think Fast Five was so bad it's good. It's like I kind of agree with you, Rod, when you say they like embrace how bad it is and how goofy it is, and they just run with it.
There is a moment in Fast Five, and I say this to everybody, where at that point you no longer get to not like the movie because you stayed there and kept watching. And it happens early. It's when they jump out of a moving train in a car.
Yeah.
Yes.
Drive to the end of like this big, like, plateau or something that falls into that, like, is, there's a river at the bottom, but they jump out of the car in the middle of the air and into the water. But it's not 10 feet. It's not 100 feet. It's like 1,000 feet.
Yes.
It would kill anyone. It's impossible for anyone to fall that much and survive with no broken bones or anything. And they just both swim right over to the other edge and get out. And I was like, yeah, I'm staying. And that's when you can't be mad at Fast Five after that moment. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
I agree. Fast Five is just so ridiculous, but so much fun. The problem I have with Fast and Furious 6 is that just it seemed no longer so bad it's good. It just seemed so bad it was bad and lazy a lot of the time. Like, I can take a little bit of bad, story and stuff. But with this, it's like they don't even try. They're just kind of like, oh, there's a bad guy who has something that's going to hurt the military.
Yeah.
Go. they don't even try.
Like, we're
not explaining nothing.
They're so far. And what's ironic is I feel like Tyrese is the voice of reason throughout this movie, even though it's coming through in humor, because he's saying my inner dialogue when he's just like, we don't know shit about the government and programs. We are car thieves that race cars. Like,
right.
What are we doing? And everybody just kind of goes, oh, Tyrese, you're so silly. And then they really go out and try to fight, like, these thieves on behalf of the government.
Right. And I think I would be okay with that if that was, like, the main thrust of the plot. But then when they bring Letty back, and it's not just that they bring Letty back, it's that they bring her back with amnesia.
which is, like,
the worst and most cliche way to do something. And I'm like, okay, guys, you can have one or you can have the other, but you cannot have both.
Also, there's no payoff for the amnesia. Like, she ends the movie and she doesn't remember shit. She's just like, I guess this feels like home. This is all right to me.
I forgot.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it is the laziest thing. I think I could handle it if it was just one of those things, but both of them together, I'm just like, no, this is too much. This is too bad. And I could forgive some of that if I liked the action scenes. The thing I like about Fast Five, and that I think makes Fast Five work so well, is that all those action scenes take place in the daytime. Mm-hmm. And you can see everything that's happening. It's bright. It's colorful. It's easy to keep track of everything that's going on. Pretty much every action scene in Fast and Furious 6, except the scene with the tank, mm-hmm. is set at night. And I spent most of the time thinking, man, I just wish it was daytime. Because a lot of the action looks cool, but it's so dark at times and kind of murky that it was just hard for me to keep track of the geography of where everybody was, especially in that final sequence when they're assaulting the plane, which looks really cool, except eventually I just gave up trying to remember who was in which car.
Yeah.
Which point on the plane. It's just they're all in dark cars and they're all on a wing and I can't figure out where anyone is.
Yes, it's dragging everybody. That's all I know.
I was actually able to keep up with everybody in what car, but at the same time, I think for this movie, the spectacle became more than the plot at some point. And it was like, yo, wouldn't it be cool if we took down a plane with cars and like fucking harpoons? And mm-hmm. they just did it, you know, like there was like, it really makes no physical sense either.
Nope.
But they somehow were just like, yeah, that'll be cool. And we're going to fucking make that happen for you.
Right. And I think that is what they did at the same time in Fast Five, mm-hmm. except it worked for me in Fast Five. I mean, the plot of Fast Five is just really ridiculous.
It is so stupid.
Yes.
It is so
stupid. It's just like, here's this stereotypical gangster guy running the city. We got to take him down. That's it.
Right.
But these action scenes in Fast Five are just so insane. You know, you mentioned the one at the beginning where they fall 1,000 feet into water. Mm-hmm. The one at the end, when you've got two cars pulling
A safe.
They say weighs like 10 or 20 tons.
Right.
I'm just like, no.
It's impossible.
Destroying a whole city.
Right. Yes. I'm like, I'm sorry. The minute you, even if you could drag that safe, if you go around a corner, that safe is just going to drag you with it.
There's okay? not,
oh yes.
There's not enough nitrous oxide in the world to
no.
do that. It doesn't even make sense.
But it was so ridiculous, and because it was daytime, and they're like just going through the city, destroying stuff, I was able to go with it. Fast and Furious 6, I was just like, oh, if this was during the daytime, maybe mm-hmm. I would like it, but it was just tough for me to keep track of everything, and you know, it just all kind of looks murky and dark when it's set at night, so I got a little bit tired of that.
Mm-hmm. I'll say what didn't work for me. I totally dislike the entire part with the military being involved in it, like The Rock having a boss and shit. Like I enjoyed it more when it was just Hobbs and he was trying to track them down, and then they became buddies, and then it was like, we're gonna get them together. I didn't think there needed to even be another element of like, you guys are gonna do this. And it felt like it was only there for that one scene where The Rock puts the gun to the other guy's head.
Which makes no sense.
Makes no sense.
Yeah.
And the idea that they would do all this for Mia, I believe, who's barely in the fucking movie. She's just like, she's in the beginning playing with the baby. You don't see her for 2 hours and 15 minutes. And then they go, we got Mia. Well, let everything go, guys. Like, no more.
Nothing else matters.
Yeah, nothing matters.
I believed that everybody else would immediately go to save Mia, but I did not buy that The Rock would suddenly be like,
Right.
Screw this guy I've been tracking for so long and who could potentially destroy the country.
Yeah.
Let's go after Mia.
One thing that did work for me, I forgot to mention, was Gina Carano's turn. I bought that. I don't know why, I just did not see it coming.
I didn't.
Well, he was like, come with me, baby. I was like, you're on the other side? What the fuck? Like, this is crazy. Like, now the thing with this movie is, I'm not gonna pretend it's good, but
it's not good.
Everything that happened that was stupid and crazy was something I was hoping would happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, very few movies do this where I'm like, yo, this movie's going down the tubes. If you're gonna go down, burn everything with you.
Ain't that the truth?
Don't go down leaving any stones unturned. So, These issues that I have, like, the forced dialogue, I think Vin Diesel is just like a caricature of himself at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that, they talked about between him and Letty when he's trying to get her to remember shit is just so bad.
Yeah.
It's like a bunch of dudes that lift weights at the gym just wrote, this is what I would say to a girl, script because everything is just like, but you already know where you belong at the home. It's like that doesn't even make sense, Vin Diesel. She's never been there.
Who wrote this?
I also didn't think that Shaw was a convincing villain. There's nothing intimidating about him, really.
Or scary, no.
Yeah, he's just, I get he's supposed to be super smart, but, it didn't, I don't know. It seemed like he wasn't that smart and he kept getting involved when he should have just been like trying to get the fuck out of there.
Cause ain't that the truth?
Seemed like he could have got away with stuff. And then there's a point where we're supposed to think he's evil because he's in a tank killing regular civilians. But the good guys are killing regular civilians with all their fucking tactics on the road too.
They all taking folks out.
Like, I don't think taking out the median divider on a bridge that is of suspended 1,000 feet above the ravine below is exactly safe. But somehow they're good guys and Shaw is like the villain in this scene because he's in a tank going, yeah, you know. Also, don't bother any of those motherfuckers know how to drive a tank. That was I don't remember tank training for anyone. I don't remember a reference to that. Also Paul Walker and his side plot that did not matter for the movie at all. Even though I think it had the best hand-to-hand fight in the prison. But it really, if you think about it, he leaves to go find out some shit for Letty, and then
that was just too ridiculous. I was like, wait, you're wanted by the government, so you're just gonna go back and put yourself in prison?
Yeah.
No.
It was like to find out some shit that they didn't even need.
No.
Because he gets back and he's like, yo, Dom, I found out. Here's the thing, and Dom's like, no, that was for you.
It don't even matter no more.
Right. He just says that was for you.
What you found out is top secret.
Right.
I don't even care.
I don't want to know.
It's like, why did I go to jail?
Right. It's like, I told you not to go, motherfucker. So yeah, that didn't really work for me either. But by saying it didn't work, I just mean it worked for me. It just didn't work for the movie. It didn't make any sense. So yeah, that was most. Oh, and now this actually didn't work for me on a big level. I thought the comic relief part with Ludacris and The Rock buying cars and the racist dude and making him strip down his underwear, that was so forced. I don't know why that was in the movie.
Me either. It was pointless.
Yeah, and they don't even make a big deal about the cars later, because they do it like, we need these kind of cars, cause these standard issue BMWs can't even track these people down. But they never use those cars to, like, there's no technological advantage to when they get the cars. The flip car never comes back. They're fighting a tank by the time they do get those cars. It's pointless. Like, it was just like, okay, I guess we need to get a Ford in here. We need to get a Mitsubishi in here, because I don't see why you guys needed to go buy cars
and for no reason
deal with the quote unquote racist dude that
I think they just put it in there to kind of play up the homoerotic relationship between all the guys. Like, oh, here's this guy. What are we going to do? Let's make him strip.
Yeah. That was so weird. And like, they do one of the few things you can't do in comedy and continue to be successful, which is they made me feel bad for the racist dude. Like, it got to a point where I'm like, he's not that much of a dick, guys. Why don't you just buy the cars and let him go?
Ain't that the truth?
You don't have to take his clothes off. Jesus.
Like, I mean, they let him keep his boxer shorts, so I was fine with it.
It got a little sad because, like, they also don't cut away in time. So then you have like this extra 2 seconds of him walking across the screen where you just have this aw moment before they cut to the next scene. So, yeah, I would say that's what did not work for me, mostly, but, I also love this movie. So let's go ahead and rank this thing 0 to 5 on the More Epic Than Love Jones scale. I will start with you first, Andrew. What do you rank this?
I'd probably give it 2 and 2.5. Can I give it 2.5?
You can give it 2.5.
Somewhere between Netflix it and a matinee.
Okay, that makes sense. Karen, what would you give this movie?
Well, as I've already said, I'm very, very, very biased. No, this movie is not good. This movie is a piece of shit. But I like action. I like watching terrible, bad action on 100-something-foot screen. So, as far as I'm concerned, I give it a 4.5 to 5, but I'm repeating, I'm very, very biased towards this movie.
As far as I'm concerned, you gave it a 5. The fuck you waiting for? Go see this shit. I agree. I give it a 5. The fuck you waiting for? Go see this shit. There are very few movies every year that need to be seen in a movie theater. This is one of those big ass dumb, like, action movies that you'll be glad you saw it on a 60-foot screen rather than in your house. It's very, if you're a fan of the franchise, you've probably already seen this, and that's good. If you're not a fan of the franchise, I wouldn't rush out and see it if you didn't like the other movies.
Cause that's true now.
It is that stupidity times 10.
Yeah, now I ain't saying it's a good movie. I'm just repeating that because it's not.
Well, it's like they took the other shit in the other movies and put it on steroids and did it one more time, which I'm a fan of. I appreciate those guys doing that. And like I said, so fuck you waiting for, go see this shit. You should have seen it by now anyway. But I would definitely give it a 5. It's not quite Kev Tears because, you know, they still miss a couple tropes that I would like to see. And it was like an and I think also because you have to divide it amongst the crew, the impossible white manness of it doesn't really, like, it combines up to a lot, but individually it doesn't really hit home like Olympus Has Fallen. But it gave me a pretty good feeling leaving the theater. I just remember going, that was fucking ridiculous.
Yes sir.
So for Rod and Andrew and Karen, this has been another Spoiled Movie Review. Thanks everybody for checking us out. We'll be back with another episode really soon. Make sure you go and check out Andrew at filmgeeksradio.com. filmgeekradio.com. And, you know, we'll be back, guys. So until next time, peace.
Get your act together. My life's a movie. I'll leave you in that act forever.
My life's like a movie. My life's like a movie. My life's like a movie.